Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Welcome. Glad to be here. Oh, nice beard, brother. You remind me of that crazy prophet John the Baptist. Well, what is that saying you guys have today? Merry Christmas. What a beautiful saying. I'm going to turn this one more light off just to set the mood there. Let's see. Is it this? Oh, hello. Sneaky little ladies here. I heard, oh, the pastor warned me about you two. I'll keep my eyes on you guys. I'm here to tell you a story this morning. Some have called it the greatest story that's ever been told. I'd have to agree. It's a story that changed me, changed my life forever. My name is Jeremel. My name means God shall have mercy. I guess my mom knew what kind of man I was going to grow up to be. I was going to need all the mercy God could give. I'm a shepherd by trade, as my father was, and his father, and his father. You know, being a shepherd, it's not an easy life. It's actually pretty lonely. You see, most people don't like the way sheep smell. They don't smell that good. And we shepherds are always with our sheep, so we don't smell that good either. So a lot of people don't want to be around us. Well, that was okay with me back then, because you know what? I didn't want to be around most people. My day, life was hard. Troubled times for Israel. The Roman Empire ruled over us. They controlled everything about our lives. And they taxed everything. I don't know if you guys still have taxes in your time. Do you? Yeah. So I guess the old saying is true. There's only two guarantees in this life. Death and taxes. Well, the Romans had stripped hope away from us. Me personally, I didn't have any hope. But there were some, like my grandfather. He had hope. He always talked about the one God would send. The one who would be ruler over all of Israel. The one the prophets had written about that would bless all the families of the earth. The one that would truly bring freedom and peace to those who believe. And that was my problem. I didn't believe. So I had no hope. Until that one faithful night. A night like no other. I kind of remember that night. There was a wind blowing. It was cold. You could hear the sheep in the valley that we were watching. But the stars that night, the stars were amazing. It's not hard to believe in God when you look up at that sky. As we stood there that night, watching our flocks, out of the darkness, we started to hear some footsteps. An amazing thing happened. Mm-hmm.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
All of a sudden, that man, or what I thought was a man, started to glow even brighter, and he floated up into the sky. It was no man. It was an angel of the Lord. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was a multitude of angels with him. And they started to sing. It started out real quiet and then grew. It was beautiful. And then they started to sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Suddenly, as they appeared, they were gone. We were in shock. Did I really just experience what I experienced? Was it real? I don't know how long we stood there. I looked over at my father. His eyes were big and his mouth was open, and he was just frozen. My grandfather, he said, "Let us go. Let's go into Bethlehem and see what the angels had said." That night we did something that we had never done before. We left our flocks. No shepherd. We walked away. We walked to Bethlehem, and as you come in the main road on the east side of Bethlehem, there's an inn to the left. And as we approached the inn, we heard a baby cry. But it wasn't coming from in the inn. It seemed like it was out back. So we walked around the edge and towards the back, and there the stables were, and there was a light coming from the stable. We walked back there, and as we entered in, there was a young couple, a man and his wife. And they were beside a little manger, a little feeding trough. And in that little manger on the hay was this perfect baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the angels had said. As we knelt down around the baby, I'm not sure how to describe it, but it was purity. It was pure. The moment was just pure. The feelings of love, peace, joy filled that dirty little stable. You know, my grandfather was never an emotional man, but that night, the tears came strolling down his face. There he was. The one the prophets had told us would be born in Bethlehem. The one that we could have our hope in. It hit me though. was the Messiah. He should have been born somewhere else. He should have been born in a palace. That's what he deserved. But he was born in this lowly, humble, dirty stable. He didn't understand why. I came to understand in time. You see, the Messiah wasn't just meant for the rich ruling class, the fancy religious types. He came to bless all the families of the earth. He came in such a humble and lowly way so that people like myself could approach him and be with him. Hope was born that night. Hope in me was born. We got up from there in the joy and the excitement. We couldn't help but go out and start telling people. They got an early wake-up call that day. Town of Bethlehem. Most who slept through it never even knew what had happened. It's like that in the world today. Most people don't understand. They know the story, but they don't understand who the Christ child is. It's a story that I have enjoyed sharing over the years, and I'll share with anybody anytime. And this morning I'd like to share the truths about that child born in Bethlehem. The reason you have this Christmas holiday. They're simple truths, but oh so powerful. So if you give me a few minutes, I know your pastor always goes over, but I won't. I'll have this pretty lady here watch my staff for me, because I'll end up dropping over there, and you can watch those ladies behind you, keep them in check. I'd like to share some truths from God's Scripture with you. I want to begin with what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, just answer to yourselves, what is your hope in? What hope does this world offer anybody? My day, I'm sure it's the same in yours, many people try to find hope and meaning in their wealth or obtaining wealth. It's probably for most of your time, but you guys remember the Great Depression, the great crash of your Wall Street? There was tycoons that had spent their entire life accumulating wealth. And in a matter of hours, they were wiped out. Many of those great tycoons committed suicide. Because what they had put their hope in was gone. Wealth comes and wealth goes. And even if you can keep your wealth till the day you die, what good does it do you after that? Most of the time it goes to relatives you don't even like. Some people think there's joy and hope in being healthy until some disease comes into their life they have no control over. Others look for hope and joy in their family and their children and grandchildren. And children are a blessing unto us from the Lord. But what happens if, God forbid, children are taken from you. King Herod, in my day, afraid of the Christ child, sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. And they killed every child in Bethlehem, every male child in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. Your family can be taken from you. Then where is your hope? Where is your joy? Only God can establish true hope in this life. And that's why the Christ child came. Without the Christ child, there is no hope. And you may ask, well, how does this baby bring us hope? Well, it's in the fact of who He is. Let me read you what the Apostle John wrote in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same chapter. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, as the prophecies had always said, and Isaiah the prophet wrote, this child, this son that was born unto us, would be God in the flesh. God would come down here and dwell among us to show us, to teach us the truth. The truth of who He is and the hard truths of who we are. And the truth of why He came. John 1 verse 29 says this, the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came to bring hope and freedom from sin. The sin that ensnares all of us. I love the way the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone in his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Take it from a shepherd. Sheep, they're not too bright. And without a shepherd there to keep them together, they go out in every direction. They get themselves in danger. They have no defense capabilities to protect themselves from the predators. They can fall into streams and drown and get lost. And sheep go every which way they want. We're the same way, folks. We're like sheep in the aspect that deep down inside us, we want to do our own thing. We want to make up our own mind and go past that we choose and not God. We have a rebellion inside of us. We're born with what the Bible references as sin nature. We desire to break the rules. And no one has to teach us this. I see we have lots of little children amongst us this morning. They're beautiful, but they're bad. The terrible twos, the trisome threes, and then they become teenagers. You don't need to teach a little child how to be selfish. You don't teach them how to steal, but they already know how to do that. You don't teach them how to lie, but they learn it. Where does it come from? It comes from within inside. Because all of us are born with this sin nature. The sin nature to do what is wrong. And we break God's laws, the laws that He has given us to keep us safe. Laws that make us treat one another with respect and kindness. But we don't obey those laws. So we cause pain and suffering. And when we break God's law, it's called sin. And that sin separates us from God, who is holy and without sin. And there is our problem. That is what we need to be saved from. That's why we have no hope. We're separated from God. We can't get rid of our sin, and we can't do anything good enough to get back to God. And that's why Christ came. He was going to do it for us. Because only He could. Why would Jesus do this? Because, and I love this about Jesus, He is the good shepherd. John 10:11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. And we, folks, are the sheep who have gone astray." Verse 14 of that same chapter, Jesus repeated, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Salvation came to the Jews first. But as the prophets had always written, as the promise to our father Abraham was given, that through the Jews, salvation would come to all. Those other sheep mentioned in this verse are you, the Gentile nations. Because God blessed all with the Christ child. He lays down His life for the sheep. Back to the prophet Isaiah 53, verse 10. I want you to understand this. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." God the Father brought down His justice on Christ, who became our sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin, our sin. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief when you make His soul, His life, an offering for sin." Jesus was born to bring us hope. And that hope was given to us by His obedience to the Father, to go to the cross when He did not deserve to go to the cross. And God put the sins of humanity upon that innocent man. And He paid the price. You see, God is just. He's perfect in all His ways. And one of His ways is justice. He just couldn't overlook the sin of humanity. He had to deal with it. Someone had to pay. Either the sinner can pay or Jesus can pay. An innocent victim. Jesus paid the price. That's why He came. That's the meaning of Christmas. But I want you to see what else is written there in Isaiah 53, verse 10. "He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands." What does it mean? He gave His life right there. He died for sin. But the prophet is saying He would see what His death created. What His death made possible. How is that possible? How can a dead man see what he has done in his death? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's right there. It's been foretold 700 years before Christ even came. His death. His resurrection. The death paid for our sins. And the resurrection gave us life. You say, why would God do this? If we are that sinful and sheep that have gone astray, why would God want to do this for humanity? And it's quite simple. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God is love. He didn't set aside His justice. His justice was dealt with on the cross. And in that payment, Christ has given those who will believe a way to escape their sins, their judgment, to find freedom from sin, because sin is a terrible, terrible master. And sin destroys our lives. We can escape from it, not just in this life, but into eternal life. But it's all about Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. He became a human being. For the suffering," why did He come? "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." The wages of sin is death. God doesn't want us to die. He wants us to live eternally with Him. So Christ came to suffer that death for us. By God's grace and grace alone. Grace is receiving something we do not deserve. We don't deserve the Christ child. We don't deserve Christ dying for us. We don't deserve the love of God. But He gives it to us anyway. "For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons and daughters to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." He is the author and finisher of faith. Jesus said this in Mark 1. Verse 14. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" What is He saying? Today is the day of salvation. He's still saying that to us today. To believe is to have faith. You put your faith in the gospel that Jesus died for your sins on the cross, was put in a tomb and raised from the dead 3 days later, defeating sin, defeating death, and bringing life to all who believe. He could do that because He was God in the flesh. Faith is simply put, it's what you did this morning when you came in here and you sat down on those pews. You put your faith in that pew. It was an action on your half to put yourself down on that pew. You had faith that it would hold you. That's faith. We put the same faith in the death of Jesus Christ for us. For our sins. But there's another word there. Repent. Repent and believe. What does that word mean? Well, let's go back to the prophet Isaiah. I think he sums it up pretty well. Isaiah 55. He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." You see, we have a rebellion inside of us. We want to do our own thing. We want to serve ourselves. We want to please ourselves. And we want to sin. Because sin, for a time, can feel good. I understand that. But there's small print to every sin. It doesn't tell you in the beginning when you think you're enjoying it and you can control the sin. But the wages of sin is death and destruction. Sin destroys our lives slowly but surely. We can see people all around us. There's probably people in here that sin is slowly destroying your life. It destroys you personally. It destroys your relationships. It can destroy marriages. It destroys. What we must do is turn from it. We must desire to turn away. It's not just believe in Jesus Christ and continue to sin. It's saying, no, I don't want to do this sin anymore. I want to turn. I want the old to go away. And I want to embrace the new in Christ. I want to live for Christ. That's what repentance is. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. And this is so beautiful. And he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Folks, there's not one of you that have done so much sin and so bad of sin that you can't be pardoned by God. And that's what the death of Jesus Christ has done for us. Your sins can be put to His death. He paid the price. All our sins. No one is beyond God's grace. But here, one last thing. John 3. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the key. Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus here, a religious man, a good man by human standards. A man that knew the Word of God, who was a teacher of the Word of God. And Jesus says, even you, Nicodemus, must be born again. You see, those two words, born again, define everything for us. We can understand these words. Because we were all once born. You have a birth certificate to prove there was a moment in human history where you came into existence. You were born. A new life was created. But now, spiritually, you who are full of sin are sinners. Sin that has separated you from God. God wants to bring you back through Jesus Christ to Him. But there must be this moment where you're spiritually born again. Before you were a sinner, that's what you did, sin. And now God wants you to have the understanding of how He loves you. Why He sent the Christ child. Why Jesus went to the cross for you. He wants you to understand that. And then He desires that your heart wants to turn from sin and turn to Him. You don't want to travel the road most people travel to destruction. You want to travel the road God has made for you. So you have this moment with God, a real moment between you and Him, with a mediator in the middle, Jesus Christ. Through His death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf, you can have your sins forgiven. The Holy Spirit of God can come into your life and bring the righteousness of Christ upon you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It's gone. Your sin is gone in God's eyes. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This is the greatest gift that you could receive. The gift of God. Paid for by Jesus Christ. A lot of people have a belief in God. See, being born again, being truly saved, your belief is not just up here. It goes to your heart and soul. It changes who you are. Lots of people believe in God. Lots of people believe in Jesus Christ, but they still live for themselves. That's not a saved person. A born again person, a new creation in God, has stopped living for themselves and they start to live for their Savior. Their life has changed. The sin of the old self filters out of their life and is replaced with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, peace, joy, kindness. We're new creations. This is what happened to me that faithful night. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And over time, He went to the cross and He died for me. I have been saved. I am born again in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. God is so good. I want that for everybody in here. God wants that for everybody. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. You have a simple choice ahead of you. There's no hope in this world. But if you look to Jesus Christ, there's hope. You can stay in your sins. You can do your own thing and live your life. God will allow you to do that. But you will pay for your sins. You will be judged. God doesn't want you to be judged. He loves you too much for that. So He pleads with us to turn from our sins. But He won't force you. He won't force you. My name is Jeremel the Shepherd. My name means God shall have mercy. Let that be a prophetic word to you today. God will have mercy upon you. If only you'll repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have that moment where you come to God to receive the greatest gift ever offered us. Salvation, forgiveness of sin, the adoption as God's child, and eternal life, all paid for by Jesus Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem. I'm going to ask everyone just to close their eyes and bow their heads for me. I'm not going to highlight you. I'm not going to even make you look up at me. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you stand. And I'm not going to have you come forward at the end of the service. But I need to put this out to you. There's no fancy prayer in Scripture called a sinner's prayer. No, it's a broken heart before God, realizing you're a sinner. And you have no hope in this life. And you need Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, whoever calls on Him, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess to God you need Him. Confess to God you're a sinner with no hope, and you want Jesus Christ. You're ready to turn from your sin. No fancy prayer, just the words from your own heart. Just take the time right now and do it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, I plead, Lord, that if there was anyone in this room that needed to become right with You, to get right with You, they just took that opportunity. Lord, we all need to humble ourselves and we all need to come to You in repentance and in faith. And You will restore us. Lord, I pray for the young children, too young to fully understand. But Lord, they know the story and they know You love them. Lord, that You'll keep having them grow up to learn more and more until they're the age they can understand Lord, I pray for the young people, the teenagers in here. They're right now what the world is after. The world is calling to them, tempting them in every way. And there's so many things to try to draw them away from you. I ask you, Lord, right now to break that. I ask if there's any teenagers in here that do not know you, Lord, that they will, the truth will come pouring into their mind and into their heart. And they will see the truth of who you are, of who they are, and how desperately they need you before this world destroys them, before their sin destroys them. And Lord, for the adults, and sometimes there's adults that have been sitting in church for decades who do not know you still. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our church attendance. We're saved because we've been born again. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here who does not know you, they will come to know you. And Lord, if there's someone in here right now struggling, pride and whatever, their love for sin, whatever's holding them back, Lord, that in time you'll break through that. And that they don't have to let them know, they don't have to be in church to be saved. They can be saved because anywhere, because you are everywhere. Whenever they get to their breaking point, that this truth will come flooding back to their memory. And Lord, for those that are in here who believe they're saved and they're not saved, their faith is vain because they haven't turned from their sin. The Spirit is not in them producing the fruit, the evidence. They're blinded because they're religious or they're self-righteous. I ask you to break through that as well. Lord, we thank you as your people for the goodness and the beauty of the story of the child born in Bethlehem. We thank you for the grace and the mercy you show us. And we thank you for what Christmas is all about. We praise you, Lord. You are good and you are loving and you are great. We praise you and we thank you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We pray this in your name. Amen. We have played this song almost every Sunday during the Christmas season, and people keep asking me to play it, and I want to play it because this song has such a beautiful, it tells the meaning of Christmas so clear. So I ask you to join me in singing one more time. The Christmas version of the Hallelujah song.
Thank you.
it's ever been told, I hope this morning that story has touched your heart. It's a story that we all need to share with people. May you all have a very, very merry Christmas. And may God's blessing come down on you this day and this new year. And I do thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. You guys have a wonderful day.